For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In recent days we have studied together the Lord's Prayer, sometimes called the Disciples' Prayer, and we've certainly learned a lot about prayer from that prayer. And that's the purpose of it, because the Lord taught his disciples how to pray. It was an answer to a request, "Lord, teach us to pray," that he gave the words of that prayer. And so we can expect, therefore, that there's material in that prayer that will help us as we pray. But as we think of the Lord's Prayer, we go beyond that just to bring some more thoughts about prayer. Some general things, things that we probably in many cases already know but need to be reminded of, but hopefully also in some cases there may be thoughts that we haven't considered or maybe not considered as fully as we will tonight. When we come to think about prayer, we know that it is a religious action. Prayer is something that is done by believers. I know there are people who say their prayers who are not Christians. There are those who are even in other religions who engage in a form of praying. The Lord Jesus talked about that, about as the heathen do. But those who truly pray are those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been born of God, and who are putting their faith into action. E.M. Bounds, a great writer on the subject of prayer, he wrote a book, for example, called Power Through Prayer, which I would certainly recommend. He said, and I quote, "Prayer can do anything God can do. Prayer can do anything God can do." And the same writer said, "The possibilities and necessity of prayer, its power and results, are manifested in arresting the purpose of God and in relieving the stroke of his power." Prayer is a religious exercise that we engage in our own individual personal lives as Christians, in our own walk with God, and also collectively and corporately in the church. We believe in prayer. We believe in the prayer meeting. Some churches don't have prayer meetings. Some churches that do have a midweek meeting don't still have a prayer meeting. What they will do is have a time of singing and preaching, and then the pastor or maybe one chosen person will pray over a list of requests, and then they'll sing another hymn and go home. It's not a prayer meeting as such. It's not a true prayer meeting, but we're met here tonight to pray. And we remember our own shorter catechism says about prayer that it is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Now, it might seem like a strange question to ask, why should Christians pray? Or why should believers even gather together and have a prayer meeting? Why should we do that? What really is the purpose of it? What is the benefit of it? Would it make any difference if we didn't do that? Well, those are some of the questions that we can give answers to. Prayer is, no doubt, not only a religious exercise, but a profitable one. We know that we are profited through prayer. And when we think about the reason why we should pray, there are a number of things that we could say by way of answer to that. And I want to deal with that simply tonight. Reasons why we should always pray. And the first one is the opportunities that are presented to us by prayer. The opportunities of prayer really are multitudinous. But there are two basic things that come to my mind when I think of the benefit of prayer, why it's a good thing to pray, why we should pray. The first one is that when we pray, it gives us the opportunity to approach unto God for communion and fellowship. And secondly, there's the opportunity through prayer to ask from God for those things that we require. So let's think about the first one of those. What are the opportunities that are presented to us through prayer? We have the opportunity by engaging in prayer to approach unto God. And this is a wonderful thing. And it's something that should be uppermost in our minds in private prayer as well as in public prayer. We come to meet with God. We come to commune with the Lord and to fellowship with Him. Remember what it says there in James 4 verse 8. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And if there was no other incentive for us to come to the prayer meeting, this would be enough. When we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And there are examples in Scripture of men and women indeed who did that and the Lord drew near to them. I think of Hannah when she prayed and the Lord drew near and answered her prayer. I think of Abraham. The Bible tells us that he gathered in the presence of God. He came into the presence of God to seek Him on behalf of the cities of the plain. And when he prayed unto the Lord, the Bible actually uses this term, that Abraham drew near. He drew near unto the Lord. That's what we do whenever we come in private to pray. That's what we do when we come in the prayer meeting. We draw near unto the Lord. Abraham was praying on behalf of the city. And the actual word that's used in Genesis 18 verse 23 is, and Abraham drew near. Now what does that mean? Well, you get the meaning from the previous verse. Genesis 18:22, the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So here's Abraham in the presence of God to commune with the Lord himself. And the Bible says, and Abraham drew near. And when he drew near, we know that the Lord drew near. How do we know that? Because at the end of the chapter, it says in verse 33, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. See, this is what prayer really is all about. First and foremost, it's about communing with the Lord and the Lord communing with us. Sometimes in life there are people that we feel very close to, and we might spend time in their presence, and we will spend time in their presence if we love them and if we really care for their company. And there are times when you're in the presence of somebody that you love and really care for, and you don't really say a whole lot. You might be sitting together enjoying something. You might be watching something. It could be like a family video or something like that. It could be some kind of an activity you're engaged in where you're not doing a lot of talking. But it's just really good to be with them. It's just a real blessing to be in their presence. You're communing with them. You're fellowshipping with them. That's what prayer suggests to me. Abraham drew near and the Lord left communing with Abraham whenever they had that time of fellowship together. This is an opportunity that's presented to us every time we come to the prayer meeting, is to meet with God. Not just with one another, but to meet with the Lord. And the Lord promises in His Word that He will meet with us. As well as the verse I just quoted from James chapter 4, there are other verses where the Lord speaks of drawing near to us. I think of the Old Testament scripture in Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 7. And it's speaking of the privilege that the people of Israel had, the nation of Israel had, because God was their God. And here's what it says, Deuteronomy 4 verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh or near unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for. We have the Lord near to us as we call upon Him. And we follow that up with a verse from the Psalms in Psalm 145 and verse 18. It records there, "The Lord is nigh," again it means near, "unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." And then it says, "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." So there's the other benefit of prayer. We'll come to that in a moment. But first and foremost, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. We draw near, and the Lord draws near unto us. And may we feel that. May we experience that in our individual and personal lives. And may we also experience it in our prayer meetings. But here's the thing. Even if you don't feel it, it's still true. You know, sometimes we want to feel a certain way in God's presence. We would love to be able to actually feel the warmth of His presence. And there are times when the Lord, perhaps for His own reasons, doesn't give us that quote-unquote feeling. But we're not going by feelings. We're going by faith. And if God's Word says it, I believe it. And even if I don't believe it, it's still true. So it's better if you do believe it. God has said it. The opportunity that's presented to us in prayer is to approach unto God. Oswald Chambers once said, "The point of prayer is not merely to get answers from God, but to have perfect and complete oneness with Him." I think that's good. May that be our aim and objective first and foremost, to have that perfect and complete oneness with Him. Just to bask in His presence. Just to be with Him. To hear Him speaking to us and to know that He's hearing us speaking to Him. It is a blessing to draw near unto the Lord because He promises to draw near to us. So this is an opportunity that's presented to us by prayer, to approach unto God in communion and fellowship. But then another opportunity in prayer is to ask from God for the things that we need. And this is what God encourages us to do, doesn't He? The Lord Jesus, in the portion that we referenced a few minutes ago, talking about the Lord's Prayer and the circumstances of it, when the disciples in Luke chapter 11 drew near to Him and they asked Him, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught His disciples. It was in that context, right after giving them the Lord's Prayer, He said, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." We're coming tonight, as we do on other occasions, privately and publicly, to ask from God for those things that we need. One writer said, "God insists that we ask, not because He needs to know our situation, but because we need the spiritual discipline of asking." And I've often remarked upon this in the words of Matthew chapter 6. When the Lord was teaching about prayer, He said that His people were not to be like the heathen. Look at verses 7 and 8 of Matthew 6. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." They think because there's a lot of words and a lot of repetition that God will hear them. And He says, no, that's not the case. Verse 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them." Don't be like the heathen. Why? "For because your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." See, before we came to the prayer meeting tonight, the Lord knew what we were going to ask. He knows the end from the beginning. The Lord knew what our needs were. Now, you might extrapolate from that, well, what's the point in coming to the meeting then? Because God already knows what our needs are. He knows what we're going to ask, so there's no real point in meeting. No, that's not true, because the Lord Jesus said, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, therefore you don't need to ask," no, "before ye ask Him." So the Lord already knows what our needs are, but He still wants us to ask. When our children are tiny and they're learning to talk, sometimes we know exactly what they want, but we still love to hear them ask for it. It's cute. We think it's really nice to hear their little childish voices asking us for things. We already know what they're going to ask. We know why they've come to us, but we still want to hear it. Now, I'm not saying it's exactly the same with God, but we are His little children after all. And He does want to hear our prayers. And as that writer said, it's not because He needs to know our situation, He already knows it, but because we as believers need the spiritual discipline of asking. It's good for us to pray. And the Lord has given us every encouragement to seek Him. There's the opportunities of prayer. We have the opportunity to ask from God. And again, just to repeat that catechism question, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And so that brings me to the second main heading, and that is, we've talked about the opportunities of prayer. There's the offering of petitions. The offering of actual petitions. If we read Philippians 4 verse 6, there's encouragement there for prayer, but there's more than that. There's encouragement to be specific in our praying. Whenever we have requests in the prayer meeting, we have those not just to fill time, but because that's really important, that we have actual specific petitions. Things that we want to pray about, things that are needed in the church or in other aspects of the work of God beyond our own church. Philippians 4 verse 6 puts it like this: be careful or full of care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And maybe you're like me and sometimes you just wonder what requests you should bring to the Lord. But if you think about it for any period of time, you'll soon come up with requests. You'll soon come up with things to pray about. When you read your Bible, you will immediately have direction about things that you should pray about. For example, you could read about the life of somebody in the Bible, and they sin against the Lord in a certain way. They go against God's word in a certain way. How do I pray about that? Well, I say, Lord, help me not to do what this person did. Help me not to do that. Or it may, on the other hand, be someone who does something good, does something right, does something that is of benefit to the kingdom of God. And we could say, well, Lord, help me to be like that person. I think about Barnabas. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And I think about that statement that was made. Lord, I know I'm not a good man by nature, neither was Barnabas, but he was looked upon as good because of the goodness of Christ that was imputed to him. But also he was a good man in terms of the overall tenor of his life, because he lived a righteous life. Lord, help me to be a good man. And Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And fill me with faith. Help me to believe your word. And Lord, make me such an instrument in thy hand that much people will be added unto the Lord. Very simple request, all suggested from what is written in Scripture. So turn your Bible into prayer. Turn your Bible reading into prayer. It may be you're reading in some Old Testament portion. It seems like an obscure place, but yet there'll be something there that you can bring unto the Lord in prayer. The offering of petitions. This is what we're supposed to do. Bring specific things before the Lord in prayer. God gives specific answers to specific requests. There's no doubt about that. Dr. Paisley used to say, I used to remind us of an early incident in his ministry. And I think he got a bit soft when he got older because he wouldn't do this anymore. But when he was a young preacher, he decided in the little Ravenhill church, one night at the prayer meeting, after the prayer meeting was through, he would go to the door and he would ask each of the persons who had been at the prayer meeting what they prayed for in the meeting. And he said it was shocking because quite a number of them couldn't remember. They couldn't remember what they'd prayed for. They couldn't even think of any request that they had made. And Doc, in his own inimitable way, said, well, if you can't remember what you prayed for, how will you know when God gives you the answers? How are you going to know that the Lord gave you the answer when you don't even know what you prayed for? So let us be thinking when we come to pray. That's important. But also asking the Lord to give us specific things to pray for. It's good to have a prayer list if that's how you're so minded to do. And be able to put a line through things and say, God answered that prayer. There's something I was praying for. There's a line through it. He's given me the petition that I desired of him. So there's the opportunities that are presented to us through prayer. There's the offering of petitions that is done in prayer. And then thirdly, there's the answers to prayer, and that, to keep the alliteration going, has to do with the obtaining of provisions in prayer or through prayer. The obtaining of provisions. Reuben A. Torrey said, prayer is God's appointed way for obtaining things, and the great secret of all lack in our experience, in our life and in our work, is neglect of prayer. Isn't that the truth? We know that by experience. We know on the one hand that prayer is God's appointed way by which we obtain things. But we know that the great secret of the lack in our experience, in our life and in our work is neglect of prayer. Why don't we pray more when prayer is God's appointed way of obtaining things? How are we going to get what we need? How are we going to obtain the provisions that we require? By bringing our cause before God. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18, and I know it's in the context of church discipline, but it's certainly applicable to prayer. Matthew 18 from verse 19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What a promise that is, that we can bring before the Lord. If two of you shall agree on earth, and there's more than two of us here tonight, the Lord has promised, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. What a wonderful promise. And we tie that in with the verse that we read on our scripture reading, well known to us no doubt, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly with freedom unto the throne of grace. What for? That, or in order that, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, here's a need that we have. Here's a requirement that we have. Meet that need. Lord, may we obtain the provisions that we require of Thee. God is able and God is willing to answer prayer. You know, answers to prayer are graciously given in terms of deliverance of His people and direction to His people. Think of the first of those. What sort of deliverance do we need? Well, we need deliverance at times from trouble. There are things that distress us. There are things that come into our lives or maybe into the life of the church. And we think, Lord, this is a distressing situation. This is something that's really either an actual problem or a potential problem that will arise in the work of God. And Lord, we need to bring it to your throne of grace. And the Lord wants us to do that. The Lord wants us to bring our trouble to him. And he's able to deliver us in the day of trouble, as the promise is given in the book of Psalms. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What a great promise that is. Deliverance from trouble. Look at Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. The Lord is able to give us relief from our trouble. I think of the words of James chapter 5. There's a range of different matters that are brought before us there that are certainly matters for prayer. James chapter 5 from verse 13, is any among you afflicted? And I believe there it has to do with a physical affliction. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? And there's a particular serious sickness that is in view that is beyond now medical help. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yes, the Lord can give us deliverance from trouble. I believe that the Lord can also give us answers to prayer in the obtaining of provisions by granting us deliverance from temptation or trials. Sometimes the words are interchangeable, but whenever the Lord talked to the disciples in the garden in Luke chapter 22, on that occasion when they were in Gethsemane, he said in verse 40 something really important for us to think about. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And didn't the Lord tell us that in the Lord's Prayer itself? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And here it is again. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Lord, keep us from ourselves. Keep us from folly. Keep us from stupidity and doing things that would bring grief and sadness to other believers and grief to the heart of the Lord himself. Answers are graciously given. In terms of prayer, there's an obtaining of provisions whereby the Lord gives us deliverance from trouble and he can give us deliverance from temptation. But as well as that, the Lord can not only give us deliverance but direction. I know that there are times in your life when you say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Lord, literally, I'm at an end of myself. There's a situation that I'm facing here, and I don't know the way out of it. I don't know how this is going to be dealt with. And it's a great thing even just to bring that to the Lord in that way. Say, Lord, this is my situation. Lord, intervene. Lord, do something. Help us. Give us direction. I know within our denomination there are things that are facing us right now in terms of provision for our seminary and how we're going to train young men in the future. And there are various questions that need to be answered. There are various needs that need to be met. I know there are individual congregations that are facing situations right now that they're wondering, how's this going to be fixed? There are congregations who have need of a minister. There are empty pulpits. And I know, having been in one just recently, that the thought is, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know where this minister is going to come from. But the Lord knows. And that's why we bring it to him in prayer. We look for direction. There's an instance of that in the book of Jeremiah, where there were certain people who asked the prophet to pray for them. They came to him and they said, Jeremiah, we want you to pray for us. And what we want you to pray for us is that the Lord will give us direction. Jeremiah 42 and verse number 3. Here was the prayer. We'll read verse 2 for the connection. Jeremiah 42, verse 2. And they said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we're left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. They needed direction, they wanted direction, and they asked the servant of God to pray for that direction. You know the sad thing? If you read the sequel to this, when Jeremiah got direction from God, they didn't obey. What hypocrites they were. Here they are asking the Lord's servant to pray that God would give them direction. And when he came back with a word from God, what did they do? They just did something else. They decided, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to obey the word that you've given to us. And some of them went as far as to say to Jeremiah, Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, Go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Terrible thing that, isn't it? Whenever we pray for direction, we have to be ready for what the Lord is going to tell us. We have to be ready to obey his word. I think of the psalmist. And oh, that we would always have the spirit that he had. Lord, help me to be like this. He said on more than one occasion, Lord, teach me thy way. There's a hymn that we sing that's based on that. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Thy gracious aid afford. Teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright. More by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me thy way. That's based on words such as Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Oh, that we would pray always for that kind of direction. The Lord has promised to guide us. And then Psalm 27 and verse 11, it records there, Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And the word really there means because of those which observe me. All that we might go in the way that the Lord would have us to go. For this, we need to pray. I thank God for those times in my life when I've needed direction and I've sought direction and the Lord has given me clear direction. And we all need to be doing that all the time. Lord, lead me, guide me, direct me, show me the way wherein I should go. And the Lord will do that. He will do it in answer to prayer. So this is why we pray. May the Lord help us to take up those opportunities that are presented to us by prayer. May the Lord help us to offer the petitions that we need to in prayer. And then we shall obtain the provisions that we need through prayer. Amen.